Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. And that is music from Noah Gabriel, who is playing a gig next Wednesday, January 24th, at Subterranean on North Avenue. And he's been on the show a couple times. It's been a while since he's been back, so we had him back now. It's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
How you been, man?
Been good.
Yeah, you know I'm a huge fan.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's so good to have you back on. And that's from your latest album, Dead Reckoning.
That is correct, yeah.
And we were talking about the fact that you've got like two more on the burner now. All you're doing is just writing and recording now.
Yeah, it seems to be
You said you have a problem.
Comfortable. Yeah.
Well, welcome back, man. Good to see you.
And
thanks. I want to talk about the new record because it's kind of an important record and a heavy record.
It is, yeah. It's definitely two sides. Each side have a story. All relating, you know, to the same thing. I mean, it's a moving on record.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit, but I want to remind everybody your background and everything. You're from Aurora?
That's correct.
Yeah. When did you start getting into music?
You know what? I remember music. That's like my earliest memories were music. You know, it was always played around the house and stuff like that. I started really playing when I was about 12. That's when I picked up a guitar and started taking lessons and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kept on going.
You got siblings?
I do, yeah. I've got two brothers and two sisters.
And, oh, wow, okay, nice big family then.
Oh, yeah.
So, but there was music played. Where do you fall age-wise?
I'm the second youngest.
Yeah. So did you have a lot of influence from your older, we asked you this before, older siblings influence your music? Did you steal their records and stuff?
I did. It was nice because, you know, they obviously had jobs and money before me. So I was able to steal some of their CDs as they came into the house. And, you know, before that, their tapes and stuff like that.
Sure,
but, you know, my parents had records. You know, we'd...
What kind of stuff your parents listened to?
A lot of singer-songwriter stuff. So, like, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Paul Simon, Billy Joel was a big thing around the house, Carole King.
That's pretty good, man.
Oh, yeah. No, I had some good roots going on in the house, so I got lucky.
And so music was always a part of your life growing up and everything, and then, like, what was the was there an epiphany that you had that said, I have to pick up a guitar and I want to start playing?
I mean, there were a couple. I mean, I remember my dad strumming the guitar and always just being, like, intrigued by it. But, you know, like most young adolescents, you know, music was really cool in middle school, and the girls really liked it, and I wanted to be liked by the girls.
Of course, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. And you remember, like, the first guitar you ever had?
Oh, yeah. I had, my first guitar was this terrible harmony guitar. Like, it was almost unplayable. The neck was twisted, the frets were jagged.
Where'd you get it?
From a neighbor, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I got this in the garage. You want it, kid?
Oh, yeah. It was basically just like sitting in a corner by their desk. But it was an electric. You know, when I first started taking guitar, we were renting an acoustic guitar. And I'm like, yeah, acoustic's fine, but I wanted to play an electric. And I knew they had it, and no one ever played it. So I think they sold it to us for like $25.
Did they sell you an amp, too?
No, I... It's funny, Marshall, they sell these, they call them like baby stacks.
I know exactly what you're talking
about. So it was battery powered. You know, my first amplifier, I'm like sitting in my room like with like basically a 2-inch speaker.
A lot of people had that. A lot of kids had that. I had a really crappy, when I played guitar, guitar for a little while when I was a kid, and I took lessons and I stopped. And then I moved down to drums, which was
hard. Oh, yeah.
But I had a terrible amp. I had I can't even remember the name. I don't even know what kind it was. But I had a Fender Strat.
Hey, there you
go. So, I mean, I had a good guitar and a terrible amp. I had a good guitar and a terrible amp. And it wasn't even a Squire. It was a real Fender.
Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, I just sucked at guitar. Oh. I tried it for a few years, and I was like, I can't.
That's me on drums.
Is that right?
Well, it's
the complete opposite. Because I'm much better at banging on stuff than playing the guitar. But it's a beautiful instrument if it's played well, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
So how long did you have the crappy guitar before you moved on to something better?
I had the crappy guitar, I think, for a good year and a half. I think eighth grade, you know, I was surprised at Christmas, and I got my first Strat, which was it was a Squire. But, you know, I've dumped so much money into that thing trying to make it a Fender, and it's still not.
There's nothing wrong with that, though. No. I mean, you know, I have no idea. You know, I wasn't very good at playing guitar, but my parents spent money on a Fender Strat.
Yeah.
Like, why are you buying me a Strat? Yeah. I mean, this is a top of the line kind of guitar.
Oh yeah.
And your kid sucks. And we ended up selling it. You know. But yeah, no. So yeah, you put some money into the Squire.
Oh
then,
yeah. I've had two or three different necks on it now.
Oh wow.
Different pickups. But, you know, I mean, it's got battle scars, you know. I mean, that guitar is just nothing but memories
for
me.
Yeah, yeah.
So I bring it out every once in a while and let it, you know, breathe a little and play around on stage.
Yeah. But. Now, the acoustic part, when did you start, because you wanted to play electric, when did you start getting into the acoustic stuff? And you know, being a singer-songwriter growing up listening to that stuff, it had to be kind of an influence.
Oh, yeah, big time, you know. But it was weird because, you know, I went through this phase where, you know, I rejected all the music of my parents.
Ah, that
because
happens.
I needed my own identity.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know, the grunge stuff, you know, I dug into the electric, and then I found blues music, so I dug even further into it. And then, really, I fell into, like, focusing on the acoustic stuff probably when I was, like, 18 or 19, and I started really following, you know, the writing muse.
Yeah.
And, you know, acoustic has become, like, you know, that I pick up my acoustic more than electric anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you're writing songs, and clearly you're prolific, you've got two albums on the burner and one just released. Do you write often, and do you make time to write, or does it have to be an inspiration for you?
It's a bit of both. You know, I always try and write. This guitar here sits next to me on my couch all the time. So
it makes your wife pretty happy.
Oh,
then.
She loves it. Every once in a while, she'll like scoot next to me, and I'm like, I need to make some room here. But I try and write like almost every night. You know, it doesn't mean I get stuff done every night,
right?
But
you got at least some ideas cooking.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing. You know, I've learned that, you know, writing like anything is a discipline. Mm. So it's like if you're just waiting for something to happen, you know, it's not gonna.
And when did you actually start writing? Do you remember the first song you ever wrote? Or one of the first songs?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be able to play it for you.
No, I'm not asking you to play it. I'm just saying.
The first song I wrote with lyrics was a song that I wrote about a cousin of mine that passed away at like a week old.
Oh.
So, born premature, hole in the heart. They went in to fix it, and it didn't work out. But so I actually have, you know, as a memory, I have like the prayer card, you know, on my first Strat, you know,
right,
you know, as an homage.
As an homage, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up here. We want to talk about, when we come back after the news, we're going to hear a couple of live songs live in the studio. And we want to talk about the record Dead Reckoning.
Sounds good.
Which you released on both vinyl and CD. And let me just say that you gave me a copy on vinyl, and it's beautiful. I mean, the artwork is amazing. I want to talk about that and why you were so adamant about releasing this on vinyl.
Right.
And then about the record itself, because it's kind of an important record for you. So, and also, you can see Noah at the Subterranean, which is Wednesday, January 24th. Subterranean is at 2011 West North Avenue. You ever played there before?
A long time ago. Yeah. I used to hang out there.
It's a cool room, man.
Yeah.
I like the way the balcony is all set up around.
Yeah.
I think that's it's a very cool room. It's a 21 and over show, and the tickets are $8 in advance, 10 at the door. And in fact, the entire lineup that night have appeared on my show.
Oh, I was going to say they're all Jim.
But they've all been on the show.
Yeah.
They've all been on the show in the past couple of weeks. So,
all right.
Noah, hang on, all right?
All right.
Noah Gabriel is with us, and we're going to take a break for the news, which is coming up next.
Training, got me shaking like a cold rain.
Welcome back. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower. After 3 o'clock, Lindsey Cochran, our great friend from Great Moments in Vinyl, is going to talk to us about his gig at Martyrs on Friday night, where they'll be covering Jimi Hendrix's first two albums, Are You Experienced and Axis Bold as Love, and with Great Moments in Vinyl. But that, what you just heard, was Noah Gabriel. Noah, you were just kind of... You kind of lit up when I said that they were going to play some Hendrix.
Well, that's the I love Hendrix.
Yeah,
we're playing Hendrix.
Noah Gabriel is here. He's just great, and he's playing Wednesday the 24th at Subterranean. The latest record is called Dead Reckoning, and that was a song from it. But yeah, Great Moments in Vinyl is this group that Lindsey Cochran puts together,
right.
Like a revolving door of incredible musicians, and every 6-8 weeks they put a gig together where they take two albums from classic artists and they play them and tell stories, and it's not like, you know, it's not like your regular like tribute band. It's like incredible musicians who are trying to, you know, recreate this these great albums and then, you know, give you a unique experience by telling stories. And so they're going to do their first time they've ever done Hendrix.
Well, that's wild. It's funny that you say that, because my buddy, I'm pretty sure my buddy Scott Tipping just played in the Zeppelin one.
Oh, yeah. They just played. Yeah.
So he was the guitar player.
That's awesome. Lindsey seriously gets some of the most insanely talented musicians.
Do not doubt it.
I mean, and, you know, they come down and they play live every once in a while. And I've had some unbelievable musicians in this room who have played as part of Great Moments in Vinyl.
That's cool.
So, I mean, if you're going to take on Are You Experienced and and Axis Bold to Love, which is, Bold as Love is one of the craziest albums ever.
Yes, it is.
That's hard, man. That's not easy.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll talk to him after three. Noah, let's talk about the record. Let's talk about Dead Reckoning.
Right.
Tell everybody it's a concept album of sorts, and it is about, it's about death.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about that.
I mean, it kind of came about accidentally. I mean, you know, I've had some friends and family sick, cancer. My wife's cousin passed away. He was dealing with PTSD. He was a Marine sniper, and he didn't make it. And I was just, you know, I was writing, and all of a sudden, you know, I was contacted by my buddy Adam Gardner, who is just getting ready to come back from Nashville. He had been working down there for like the past 8 years with like Dave Cobb and guys like that. And he wanted to do something up here. He kind of wanted to get a studio going, and I started pitching him these songs, and as I was pitching them to him, I saw like this connecting line. I realized, you know, what I had been writing about, and, you know, so we kind of went from there took a pointed approach and
so it's the reason why I understand why you wanted to release it on vinyl, other than that vinyl is hot now and it's cool and it's awesome. But this is like an album that it's the stories are told with two sides. Side one is told from the point of view of people who are ill and who are sick and dying. And side two is from the people that are experiencing
watching it.
Which is a really amazing and interesting concept. And so when you that's one of the reasons why you decided to release it on vinyl.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Because, once again, you know, once we started looking at the songs, I realized once again, you know, these songs are definitely not from my perspective, you know. And it's weird writing like that because, you know, obviously I don't know what that's like.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've been able to talk to people who are going through that stuff. And you know, you read enough, you see enough.
Yeah.
Films and things like that, but yeah, it definitely, for me, it needed to be. I wanted to not just, you know, tell those stories, but I tried to, like, you know, give it a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
You know, come to some sort of resolution on both sides, which is why I really wanted to do it on vinyl. And then, you know, with the artwork,
this is a radio show, so people can't see it, and I won't be able to describe it, but it is an extraordinarily beautiful-looking package.
Yeah.
The cover is amazing, and the back is amazing, and it's really beautiful to see this kind of thing, because an album is nice and big, and you can look at it, and you can hold it, and this is just... tell everybody who did the artwork on this, because this is incredibly beautiful.
Yeah, a buddy of mine, Chris Hodge. I met him... I do some artwork myself, and I met him doing some shows in Aurora, and he just does incredible work, and I I had the idea, you know, I consider myself a cover artist when it comes to visual art. You know, I find photos and stuff, and I do my own thing with them. He was able to take my ideas. You know, I the title Dead Reckoning, it's like a double meaning, but it's a nautical term. You know, they used to, it was a way to find your place out on the sea using like past points and, you know, future points.
Right.
So I wanted an astrolabe, which was an ancient tool of you know, oh my God.
Nautical tool.
Yeah. And then I also wanted to include like the Tibetan Book of the Dead mandala. So I pitched him these ideas and he did a bunch of research and started sending me sketches. And I was just like, you know, the story of the album is on the cover.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at it, it's pretty incredible.
It is really, I mean, it's just, it's absolutely beautiful. And how many of these did you have done? How many did you get in vinyl?
250, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
will they be available on Wednesday, next Wednesday?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. They'll definitely be available.
Okay, good, yeah. Very, very cool. So the album itself, was this, you know, considering what the album's about and everything, was it a tough album to do? Was it to write and then end up recording? Was it tough?
Yeah, it was. I mean, for many reasons, I recorded it like after having pretty serious knee surgery. So like I spent the entire time recording, you know, with my leg up, you know, in a brace, and then you know, on top of it, yeah, it's easy to remove yourself from it, like when you're in the studio,
because it becomes so technical, or
yeah, because you're more focused on the work of it,
right?
You know,
right,
and getting the sounds right. You know, it's not like I'm you know, really thinking about the songs. I'm trying not to,
right?
The shows. When I first started doing the shows, they were kind of difficult. You know, there's a couple songs on there, especially when I play them in front of certain people, that are tougher to get through.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Than others. But for me, I mean, that's, you know, the best music is the stuff that, you know, kind of breaks your heart.
Yeah.
You know, or really makes you feel something.
Right.
So, you know, I was hoping with this album to do that,
That's great, man.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on it. So can we hear a live song here? You got your guitar with you. And so what are we gonna hear first? We're gonna hear two songs live here in the studio from Noah. So what are we gonna hear first?
You know, I thought since yesterday or 2 days ago now was Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Yeah.
I wrote a song called Birmingham for him, so I'd like to play that.
That's great. Okay, here's Noah Gabriel, everybody, live in studio.
Storm, golly, shook the rain, but the clouds they still live so. Shed blood just to spread the dream. Now the tears burn, but they wash me clean. 'Cause love is love is love for me and you. I've seen the promised land. I got no fear of a mortal man. Took a fall for the mortal man.
It's great, man.
Thank you.
You are great, dude.
Oh,
seriously, you are just great. It never ceases to amaze me when you come in here how much I enjoy what you do. You're great. Let's take a quick break. That's Noah Gabriel. You can see him Wednesday night, January 24th at Subterranean on North Avenue. 21 and over show starts at 8. Tickets are $8 in advance, 10 at the door, noahgabriel.com. And we have a link on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. Talk more, and we'll hear some more live music right after this. Everybody, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN.
From here,
that's Noah Gabriel from his record Dead Reckoning, which is available now. Can people get the music online and all that?
Yes,
stuff?
iTunes. I mean, really, anywhere I think music is available, they can always contact us through the website if they want to get a hold of the vinyl.
Mm-hmm. NoahGabriel.com.
NoahGabriel.com.
Right.
We'll send it out to them. Record store, Kiss the Sky in Batavia. Yeah.
So go online. You can get the vinyl if you want to get the vinyl too, and have that beautiful artwork as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Talk and text. Wildcard Wednesday is coming up. Make sure you get your requests in now, and we'll play them later. It's Nick DiGilio here, and Wednesday night, the 24th, Subterranean. We were talking a little bit off the air that you used to basically live there when you were younger in your 20s.
Yeah. A bunch of buddies of mine used to drive down there on Monday nights for their open mic, and it's funny because we'd go down there, and this girl that we became friends with bartended, Sarah Potenza. She'd always talk about being a singer and stuff, and about a year after hanging out there, she finally got up and sang and was incredible. And I ended up doing Acoustic Chicago, which was like a compilation of CRC.
Yeah, yeah.
She was on there. And then I think like 3 years ago, she was on, I think, American Idol or The Voice, and like made it to like second place. And I'm like, what the?
Is that right?
Yeah. So it was just, you know, weird coincidence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, Subterranean is a really... It's a really cool room.
I really like it.
And actually, you know, I mean, the guys you are playing with, they've all been on the show, you know, and they're all really cool. And it's a great lineup. So it's going to be a lot of fun for you guys on next Wednesday night. Now, you had a band. You still every once in a while hang out with these guys. You had a Noah's Arcade.
Oh, yeah.
And you worked with these guys. The first time you were in, that was what you were in for. The first time you ever came into the show. What was it, like 4 years ago or something?
Something like
that. Three and a half, 4 years ago. You've got a gig coming up this weekend, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, let's tell everybody about that.
So it's not a full-on arcade gig. We're going to be doing some arcade stuff, but we also got a bunch of other buddies, Scott Stevenson, Dave Vermont. Dave Vermont was here, I think, last time with me. Dave Nelson from Hartsfield and Dick Smith and stuff like that. And then Chad and Justin. We're going to be playing a bunch of stuff off a new record that I'm finishing up tomorrow and some stuff off another record that I'm working on and then some old, you know, favorites.
Yeah. Well, cool. Where tell everybody where the gig is and when it is.
It's at the law office in Yorkville. So it's downtown Yorkville. It's a cool place. It is actually like an old law office. The guy that owns it, it was his family's office.
No kidding.
So like they still got like all the old barrister bookshelves and stuff like that with all the old law books up there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and they have like a rotating art gallery. So I've had like a bunch of pieces hanging up there since December. And then we're gonna go out there. We're playing with our buddy Tony from a band called Functional Family, out in the burbs.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a nice night.
That's cool. So that's Saturday night.
That's Saturday.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. Okay, you know, I asked you this question. You've been on the show a couple of times, but I always ask musicians, and to remind everybody, what was the first album you ever bought?
The first album I ever bought, I believe, was Counting Crows, August and Everything.
Ah, yes. That's right. And first concert you ever saw?
You know, it all depends on what you consider a concert. I saw Richard Marx at a Borders bookstore. That was the first, like, quote-unquote concert that I went to.
Can't believe if you told me that story, I can't believe I forgot it.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's possible that I didn't. Maybe I told,
it's also possible that I forgot.
Yeah.
It's a very strong possibility that I forgot.
But it was wild. I was a kid, so I just thought it was like the coolest thing. I'm like, I've seen him on TV, and now he's right there.
And look at his hair.
And
Did you know, there's a little piece of trivia. You know the song, the Blackhawks song, Here Come the Hawks, the Mighty Blackhawks. His dad wrote that.
No way.
Yeah, Richard Marx's dad wrote that.
That is wild.
Yeah. Now, what would be, outside of Richard Marx at a bookstore, what was your first concert?
Outside of that, I would say Aurora's Blues Fest. Aurora has a really nice blues fest that they don't have the large spread of artists that Chicago does, but they bring in some
good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I saw that, and then, you know, Chicago Blues Fest. First, like, going to a concert arena thing.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi. All right. Yeah. On that note, let's hear another song.
All right.
What are we going to...
This is so not Bon Jovi.
That's fine with me. Trust me. What are we going to hear?
I'm going to play you a new song. Called Can't Come Down.
Okay, Can't Come Down. This is Noah Gabriel, everybody.
Going insane. Hey,
is a god and he can't come down. Wrong way around, I can't turn it around. Here all on the wall, oh boy, it's starting to drown. There's a cat and it can't come down. God and you can't come down. Wrong way around, I can't turn it around. Here out on the wall, oh boy, you're starting to drown. There's a God and you can't come down.
That's beautiful, man.
Thank you.
You kill me, man. You kill me. You're so good. You're so good. Noah Gabriel, everybody. Wednesday, January 24th at Subterranean in Yorkville this Saturday at the law office. And you can go to noahgabriel.com for more information, and you can get the album Dead Reckoning. You can order it on vinyl and all that cool stuff. You're great, man.
Thank you.
I want you to come down sooner than 3 years from now.
I can do that.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Okay. We'll take a break. The news is coming up in 8 seconds.